Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim search the scriptures to show how God intervenes with the ordinary course of nature to demonstrate supernatural visions and occurrences to His people.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us. She's telling us what to expect in the end of days, and we expect we're in the end of days.
We're here.
So listen up. Billy, welcome.
Thank you very much.
We're looking forward to it.
We're talking about the supernatural, our supernatural God and His supernatural body, the church.
Yes, amen.
He's the head. He's supernatural. The church is to be supernatural. They were supernatural in the book of Acts.
That's right.
So we talked about how oftentimes we've let that go. And you can get all of our previous lessons somehow out there on all those ways you can get it, kcm.org, Roku, whatever. But our God is a supernatural God. And for the definition of supernatural, I looked in my Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language.
Yeah.
Actually, just right around the time of the Revolutionary War, Reverend Dr. Goodrich, who was a trustee of Yale College, was founded to make ministers for the Great Awakening, suggested that he make an American dictionary because there were English dictionaries, but here there's a new America and they're having new words. So Noah Webster took the challenge and he wrote a long preface, and he said that the United States commenced their existence under circumstances wholly novel and unexampled in the history of nations. And he said they commenced with that best gift of God to man, the Christian religion. So he used in his 1828, you can get the 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster. It's a huge thing. He used to define the words biblical examples. So I looked up supernatural, and you can see that supernatural story right there. And he said it is being beyond, this is his definition, being beyond or exceeding the powers of laws of nature. Miraculous. A supernatural event is one which is not produced according to the ordinary or established laws of natural things. Thus, if iron has more specific gravity than water, it will sink in that fluid. And the floating of iron on water must be a supernatural event. So he used then this story in 2 Kings 6:1 to explain to us supernatural. And reading that in the English Standard Version, "Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, 'See the place where we dwell under your charge? It's too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan,'" and that would be the Jordan River, "'and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell.' And he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them," he had a school, Gloria, for the prophets. I've been to the place where he had it, up on the mountain, high mountain, close by Jerusalem. A huge place it eventually became, where he taught the prophets of those days. And he said, and in those days, the prophets, the people had to go by the prophets. They didn't have the Word of God. So there were thousands of prophets. We have only the ones that affected the future that are in the Bible. But people had the prophets guided them in their everyday life. Whether to buy and sell, what to marry, who to marry, things like this. So they had these big schools of the prophets. Well, one of the Bible school students said, "Let's go down the Jordan River, because there's lots of trees there, and cut some logs." And 2 Kings 6:4. "So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' Then the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float."
Glory to God.
So iron can't float.
No.
That an iron axe head cannot float. because the laws of nature are the laws that God established.
That's right.
You jump off a building, the law of gravity is going to drag you to the ground, unless God intervenes with an angel swooping by to save you.
Either.
No. So, I remember Brother Hagin, he defined miracles like this. He said, we use the term loosely, and people will talk about miracle detergents. And he said, miracle this, miracle that, all the way to the miracle of human birth. But Brother Hagin pointed out, the miracle of human birth is not really what you would call a miracle.
No.
Because it's natural.
It's the normal.
It's the natural.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know?
The natural normal.
The natural normal. Father, mother, if it's a man or a woman, or if it's a stallion and a mare, they're going to have...
If a woman had a calf, that would be...
That would be...
Supernatural.
That would be supernatural.
Okay,
But this is natural.
I got it.
And so it's not a miracle. A miracle, Brother Hagin defined it like this. Divine intervention into the ordinary course of nature. Noah Webster defined it as a wonder or wonderful thing. In theology, an event or effect contrary to the established course of things, a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event. Miracles can be wrought only by almighty power, as when Christ healed the lepers, saying, I will, lepers, not the spotted leopards, the spotted lepers, saying, I will, be thou clean, or calm the tempest, peace be still. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, Mark 6 says. He was a man, Peter preached, approved of God by miracles and signs. But it didn't stop with Jesus. Now, it's supposed to go on, and it did go on in the book of Acts. They had miracles.
Yeah, they did.
They had signs and wonders. They were a supernatural church. They had visions. You know, the church prayed when Peter came back after having been arrested in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. This is the bottom of page 3.
Okay.
And now, Lord, this is the church praying. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Mm-hmm. And the church is God's hand. That signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Praise
and they spoke
God.
The word of God with boldness. They asked that miracle signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus, actually through their hands. Their prayer was answered. Just go to the 33rd verse of chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
Yes,
every miracle, every sign, every wonder is done by resurrection power.
Hmm.
And they gave witness to that resurrection. That's our message, the resurrection. And our lives are to be a supernatural witness of resurrection power.
Praise God.
It was not only for the apostles, but all believers. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just the preachers, not just the apostles, and not just for that age.
That's right.
These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Praise God.
Dr. Gary Wood, who went to heaven and came back and has the witness of it, he said this. I don't know where he got this phrase, but it's a great one. He said, some people say the day of miracles is over. He said, there never was a day of miracles. There's a God of miracles.
Yeah, that's right.
And the God of miracles
was
active in the early days of the church, supposed to have been active. Things happen, dark ages, etc., which we won't go into. But now we've lived in the time when these things have been restored in the 20th century, and now the 21st century. And we're coming ever, ever, ever nearer to this great outpouring. And it is to come through the body of Christ, which is a supernatural being.
Praise God.
If we're not supernatural, we'd just as well be a civic club. We'd just as well be a sorority or be like the Rotary Club. They do good things.
Yeah.
But if we don't have that power, and God, and Jesus said in John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Praise God.
If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is an asking, a commanding.
Praise God.
We've already talked about it. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the end of days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days in my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Mm-hmm. We've been reading about prophecy. We've been reading prophecies that Brother Hagin made. Mm-hmm. Now, Brother Hagin, and it's one of our offers, the book, I Believe in Visions. God has dealt with him in open-eye visions through the years. That book, I Believe in Visions, is eight of his visions. He's had some since. But bless the Lord, glory be to God. I was going to read some from I Believe in Visions, but I don't find it right here. But he wrote in that book, and I can just tell you what it was like. He wrote in that book that he was in a tent in Rockwall, Texas, 1950 September.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And it was a really rainy day. And so not many people were able to, it was out in the farmland. Not many people could get out. So just a few people were under the tent. And he heard a voice up where the top of the tent should be. And it said, come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither to the throne of God. Quite a few things happened. When you read it in the book, you're going to find out the Lord took him to heaven. The Lord took him to hell. The Lord gave him prophecies, what things are going to happen. But in that vision, and at the end of that vision, Brother Hagin said, Jesus took me up and we stood before the throne of God. He described the throne. He described the living creatures that he saw. And he said, Jesus said, don't look at the Father, you know, because he's so bright and glorious. You can't look upon his face and live. Then Jesus put his hands in Brother Hagin's hands. And he said, I've called you here to give you an anointing to minister to the sick. And Brother Hagin said, I felt like coals of fire were in my hand to minister to the sick. And if they will believe that you came here and that I gave you this anointing, then when you lay hands on them, they will receive and they will be healed. So 1967, I'm coming to hear Brother Hagin. He's talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the Word. But every single night he's telling this vision. I went up and Jesus put his hands in the palms of Brother Hagin's hands. And then he would say, my hands feel like fire now. Well, I didn't really realize that God had dealt with him. You have not been obeying this vision like you should. Mm-hmm. It came in 1950, now it's 1967, and you aren't really telling it. So Brother Hagin had to tell that vision every night. Now here I am. I never heard of anybody having visions. I'm the pianist of a denominational church, and 1 week ago I told people that speaking in tongues was of the devil. But now I'm speaking in them. But actually through the week, every single night Brother Hagin would get up and tell that vision that he got caught up to heaven. I remember one night sitting there, and something came before me. It was like a ball. And I thought, I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a decision. Only one of three things can be true about this man, Kenneth E. Hagin, telling this vision every night. One, he's crazy. Two, he's a liar. Three, He knows God better than anyone I know.
I choose three.
I chose three, and you and Ken did too.
Yes, we did.
And our lives changed. Now, I want to tell you, because I know of visions, because I knew of Brother Hagin, because I knew that it is prophesied that people shall have visions in the last days, that was why I was able to receive some visions that a man had before Donald Trump was elected president. He's a former Muslim. His name at that time was Mohammed. He's since changed it. His parents are Palestinians. Hmm. And he lives in the United States, but he was born in Jordan. The first time that I came into contact him, or he with me, was... And I contacted him just recently before the minister's meeting. I asked him, can I share these things? Because I know people are out after his life. And he said, please share them and tell them this. Tell them this is what the Lord has done for someone like me who was born not believing. So I first met him in 1993. He met me. I didn't know I met him. He met me then. I was preaching for Mack and Lynn's church. He married a wonderful Christian woman. Now, why she married him is a long story, but it's worked out. So she had convinced him to come to church to hear me in 1993. When I got up, I spoke about Israel and how if you bless Israel, you're blessed. You curse Israel, you're cursed. He was Muslim at the time. He got up and he stomped out angry. He said, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. But now through the years, his wife, his Christian wife, who was a dedicated woman of prayer, and he said, I'd have trouble in my business and I would ask her to pray about it and it would change. But if I prayed to Allah, nothing changed.
Yeah.
So he said, I began to turn more and more prayer requests to my wife, and I watched them get filled.
That's interesting, isn't it?
So on January 15, 2011, his wife had taken him to a church service, and he had begun to go more with her. And he heard audible voice. He said, I ignored the words the first time. I knew they were audible, but I ignored them.
Oh.
And the voice said, son, you need to come to me.
The mercy of God.
The mercy is what it is, Glow.
The mercy of God.
I heard them again. Son, you need to come to me.
Oh, Jesus.
Who are you? Now, the Lord spoke to him in Arabic, and the Lord said to him, I speak to you in Arabic because that's your mother tongue, and I want you to understand what I say. God speaks every language. So we ask him, who are you? I am your Lord. I am Isa, Yeshua, the Messiah. You need to come to me. And then he called me by my name, Mohammed. He said, every Muslim knows Allah would never call you by your name. Allah addresses men as my slave. So I walked to the front and accepted Jesus into my life.
Praise God.
He began then to have visions. I find this with many Muslims. They're having visions to come to the Lord.
What page are you on?
On page 8. Yeah. I'm having visions that come to the Lord. So then began Max's visions. Periodically, Max would appear to him. Max went to his pastor and asked her about the visions. They often had to do with current events in Israel. She said, I don't know these things. You need to talk to Billy Brim. Well, he remembered me from when he stomped out. So he located me in Branson. He and his family drove down here to Branson. And he asked me, will you judge my visions? So I prayed about it and I said, yes. I'll judge your visions. And I judged his visions. And the Lord spoke to him early on about ISIS and what their plans were. And but then he had a vision that wasn't the Lord at all. And I think it was even the Lord that let that vision come because it didn't line up with the Word. And I was able to teach him that a vision can come from the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And I was able to teach him how to judge visions. Here we're coming to the end. We've got to know how to judge visions.
Right.
It says that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light.
That's right.
And so his ministers can. Well, how do you tell? Well, the Bible tells us how. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Mm. So he humbly accepted that counsel. And to tell you the real truth, he reminded me the other day that that was in 2014 that I gave him that counsel. He said it was like a load went off his back because he himself could tell if this is of God or not of God. By asking that spirit when it's in manifestation, do you confess Jesus Christ come in the flesh? So September 20th, 2016, he had a vision of Jesus. Max called me, told me this. I'm going to tell you right now what it was. That's before the election. Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. I have been preparing him to be the president since 2008. In 2011, he was not ready for the 2012 campaign. In 2013, he became closer to me by going to church and praying more often. In 2015, I guided him to run for president. He's going to have a lot of negativity and a rough road, but he will be the president of the United States, primarily because he is the one who will be protecting, saving the USA, Israel,
hallelujah,
and Jerusalem. The other night, I talked to Max just before I came here. I wanted to talk to him again, and he said, Jesus told me he's the chosen one because he will protect Jerusalem.
Praise God.
In 2016, he heard this. People will be shocked. And they were. Oh, were they shocked? Donald Trump is closer to me now more than anybody could imagine.
Praise God.
He shared that with me in 2016. I shared it with my family. I prayed about it. And then I began to urge the praying people that I have influence over, let's pray about these elections. Let's pray about the elections.
When was it, Billy, that Mr. Trump invited us to the...
I don't remember.
The ministers, the full gospel ministers and the ministers.
He invited you to a smaller meeting. He invited me to one in June. But you didn't make it.
That I remember. Pretty large.
Yeah, you know, that was before June.
40 people maybe or something.
Then later I went to one in June 2016, which 1,000 people. But...
Praise God. So he's... when he talks about things, it's not something that he just came up with.
No, it was a vision, a divine vision of Jesus.
That's right.
Remember, people are going to have visions in the last days.
That's right.
So on October 2016, Max was praying in the Spirit about these things, and the Lord spoke to him, he will be the president, but my people must stand together and pray. We're going to take this up tomorrow. I don't have time to finish this because he had a vision on the very election day I want to tell you about tomorrow.
You do not want to miss this. You do not want to miss this tomorrow. Hallelujah. That's excellent, Billy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, we're going to have these things.
The church should know what's going
on. Yes. Exactly, Glow. Rhea.
We'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.